Hey guys, Footy Focus Podcast, episode 10. We are recording on Wednesday, 29th of June, and joined by my co-host, Shahan, who's fresh off a Tassie trip to watch his boys Roos. How are you going?
Yeah, hi, Shahan. Yeah, not too good.
Still recovering.
No, Tasmania was good. It was lovely to go down to Hobart again. Did some stuff. Explored the city on the Saturday, and then the game on Sunday, and then got home late that night. Bumped into the Adelaide Crows guys at the airport. Didn't talk to them or anything, but it's cool to see them.
We'll get to the review shortly, but while we're on your Roos, Jeff Walsh. So he's been part of the Roos probably two separate occasions, and he's joined the Roos in what's it called? What's the role?
Was an advisory role, right? So, he was there in the 90s and went to Collingwood for a bit and then came back, and then he might have gone to Collingwood again.
Had a stint at Carlton too, didn't he?
I don't know if he had a stint, but he did the Carlton review. But, so we'll talk a little bit about that, and then the review. I don't really want to talk about the review. It's pretty, it's just like the same thing over again. But he was at Carlton when they did their review.
Teague.
For Teague, and then that led to him being sacked and eventually appointing Michael Voss. And then he was with Collingwood as well in 2017.
Yeah.
When they did the review there, when Collingwood weren't performing under Buckley. Buckley kept his job though.
And then the assistants left. And then was it the next season they made the grand final? Or
next year they made the grand final. So it's good to see him come. I think it gives us a level of comfort, I guess, that the leadership is doing something about it.
Yeah.
So Sonia Hood's the president, I think. So she's sent a letter out to the members saying that the development hasn't been. There's been no development, essentially, so there's no improvement. So everyone's getting a bit restless. So, we'll see what he has to do. So he's got 4 weeks or 4 or 5 weeks to put a report together and, present that to the board. What do you think? Do you think that's a good move?
I think the talk was, I think, that review would spell the end of Noble's tenure as coach, but I don't think it necessarily means that. I mean, you've lost three members of the recruiting department, so that he's probably there as well to help fill a void. But, I think you're definitely comfort because he's got 30 years of experience, so I think you can be comfortable there. But I don't think it necessarily means Noble loses his job. I think that's more dictated on results rather than Walsh coming in.
Yeah, but the results haven't improved and aren't, so that's not good news. So I think the next month will, be pretty crucial to see if the average losing margin maintains at about 10 goals or can he do something to bring that down to 4 or 5, which is, I reckon, needed if he's to stay. Because if it doesn't, I think there's no other choice really. Because we made a new record as well, the most 47 plus losses, 10 of them in a row.
So the lowest margin is 47.
So when Teague went, they were underperforming, and Buckley retained. They weren't doing too bad, Colin.
Not to this extent.
I mean, this is like unprecedented. Yeah. So, I think they'll have some tough calls to make. And I think, it will be, I'd like to see the cultural change if they could. I know it's a bit hard, it depends on people at the club, but if not, maybe. Yeah, looking at the development coaches, strength and conditioning, we seem to have a lot of injuries year in, year out. So looking at that, VFL program maybe as well. Something has to be done. So we'll see what happens in the next 2 or 3 weeks anyway.
Yeah, the return of Wayne will definitely help because he's probably the spiritual leader, if not, like, he's not the captain.
Yeah, he's done has calf injury, so it's pretty much likely he'll be out for the year.
Yeah.
I think. And Phillips is out as well, so.
Yeah, it's just unlucky, isn't it? He's had a bad run.
Yeah, so this week we got a hold of the number one draft pick for the national draft. So, if West Coast keep improving as we sort of expect them to do with Nick Nat coming back, we're probably going to win the Wooden Spoon and have the first pick.
So you won't get, would you bid on Ashcroft's son? He looks like the number one
Interesting question. Yeah, he's another sort of medium to small midfielder.
50-plus touches, I think, in the NAB League.
Yeah, match, it comes back to, like, list management. I think we'll talk about this another week, but we don't want to stock up on too many midfielders that aren't flexible to play forward or wing. Yeah, because you're just going to have not enough game time to for the Powells and Will Phillips, given that they do develop into AFL footballers. Yeah. Well, we only have pick one, and the next pick is 55. I reckon the priority picks, we'll probably get one. It's just a matter of where that lands. Would you split pick one?
Into what, two or three picks?
Yeah, into another couple of first rounders if possible.
Yeah, I wouldn't give up pick one.
Yeah, okay.
I think, like, what you guys rejected, I think, was it three first rounders?
For the Port Francis pick. It would have been, like, one and two upgrades.
Yeah, future ones, yeah. So I don't think you got pick one. I think even if you don't get Ashcroft, you get the best of the rest.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, okay, right. I guess history's proven. I think you can look at it both ways. Like, you miss out on Sam Welsh, but you could pick up sort of a Rosie and Butters.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll talk about that later. But now I reckon if we keep losing, I think that end of first round priority pick has to come in more to, like, maybe a mid first rounder.
So you get two first rounders.
So we'll see. Salary dumps. There's a few players. It's another tactic used by clubs these days, like Freo did with Will Brody. And we sort of did with Stevenson, and a couple of other ones I looked at, like Tom Phillips went to Hawthorn. He hasn't heard much about him.
Yeah, but he's getting salary paid. Yeah.
Trelaw's another one. So guys like maybe some youth, Paddy Dow and Sam Flanders, might be the contractor for next year.
Yeah.
If we can get one of them, or someone, a couple of players with a bit more experience, like Wiedemann from the D's and Crozier from the Dogs. Just so, we need to bring in some experience and heart match hardened bodies as well.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, we'll move on to the rule change. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, so it's been a while coming, the protected area.
Mm-hmm.
See, essentially, you won't see any of those frees where you're leading your opponent into the protected area and then they give a 50-meter penalty, which I think it's led to, like, a goal 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to always kick the goal.
So it happened again. Yeah, so that's a good, good one. So it's unfair with the player chasing because he got to stay on his man.
Yeah.
But if he... Yeah, and you're just tricking. So AFL isn't about acting or tricking.
Yeah, it's massive being cunning.
Yeah, so you've got to stamp that out of the game, and it's probably, I agree with it.
It's good they've done it mid-season instead of waiting till, you know, it decides a final or,
I mean, doing it is good and bad. It shows the AFL, there's the rules to keep getting exploited, so they can't, there's no one rule. Like, I don't know. I guess other sports change their rules all the time, but it's a bit annoying. What about that memory one? How he, against the Swans, marked it on the boundary line, and he moved in 5 or 6, maybe 7 meters in, and then the Sydney players, they were just, like, interchanging or something.
Yeah. Right? Wasn't impacting the play at all. So, yeah, you're right.
What annoys me is that Membry shouldn't have been that far in anyway. Yeah. Like, he should have been, like, on the boundary line pretty much.
So they're they were out of the protected area, but because of Membry, they were in the protected area.
I think it's an umpire's... No, it shouldn't have been a free regardless. It shouldn't have been a free because Sydney players are well out. Yeah.
It's good that rules changed anyway. Going to move on to the game reviews.
Yeah, we'll do it quickly. Yeah, you can ask me some questions.
Yeah, so North and Crows in Hobart, which you travelled down to. So how was Hobart, your experience there?
Yeah, Hobart was great. Yeah, so definitely go back there. I think you haven't been, so I'd recommend it.
Yeah,
good museum, good little markets there. Craft markets.
Some of the other positives.
The ground is really nice. I think Blundstone Arena. It's a small ground, but
well maintained.
Yeah, it's a bit windy. I think not having the stands all around makes the wind come in and makes it a little bit windier. I think there was a game there against West Coast where it was really windy. But otherwise, it rained a little bit, but it dried up quickly. Pretty sunny day. Maybe a slight breeze to one end, but yeah, it didn't really impact the game too much. Yeah, other positives include, yeah, our first quarter was good. I mean, we took our chances in front of goal and kicked, I think, 4 goals, one of our better quarters for the year. And yeah, we were in the game. And we tried to change things up, I guess, by having Mackay forward.
Yeah,
Chad messaged me earlier this week. He said he went to training on the weekend and or last week, and he saw Mackay training with the forward group.
Okay.
So, yeah. But, I mean, it worked, sort of worked in the first quarter. He could have had a couple of goals. He did kick one, his first ever goal, actually.
Yeah.
But, yeah, end of the day, you look at how many goals his opposition kicked on the other end. Yeah. So, I think it's, yeah, didn't work ultimately, but it had a couple of moments which were positive.
And Jackson Archer's debut, how did that go?
Yeah, he was really good. Made a couple of errors by foot, but he attacked the ball, attacked his man. 15 touches, which was more than I thought he'd get. He only gets only about half a dozen touches in the VFL, but he seemed to have the appetite for the contest. So look forward to seeing him play a few more games to see if he's got what it takes.
Onto the negatives, and I don't want to talk about this, but
yeah, just quickly, I think structurally we were just, it was wrong again, like going in with the two rucks, Mackay and Larky, and at times I guess you would have had to have had to Goldie or Jerry resting forward as well. So round one it didn't work with Carl Coleman Jones and the other two ruckmen, but yeah, we just got to get the structure right. And after halftime, after the Mackay experiment wasn't working, he had to go back.
Yeah.
And then, he takes Walker, Fogarty, Josh Walker takes Fogarty, and Core should have been on the smalls.
Yeah. I think he's better suited there, because I remember he has good record against, like, the Robbie Grays, you know, Charlie Camerons and all those players, so you're probably right there.
Yeah, I think from now on, I think Core, he seems a bit lost, so his role's just got to be, just a shutdown small and try to come off and support rather than just, because he was on, I think, Fogarty and one of the two. And he seems a bit confused what's happening. So just get the structures right and maintain those structures. We're not at the position where we can throw the magnets around a bit, I don't think. I think that's more, later on when you start winning and teams are trying to work you out. But at the moment, I think, just to give the players a bit more predictability.
And Tom Powell, how do you think he's faring?
He's just not getting the opportunity. He only had 10 possessions or so. It could be second year Blues, but I think more it's the whole club and the whole system rather than individual players and seeing what's wrong with them. I reckon, a lot of it just comes down to the messaging and development and, just the system that's being educated to the group. And why I say that is because only a handful of players have actually improved this year. So Scott, Curtis Taylor, and Davies Juniac and Cherry are probably the only four. The rest of them, seem to not know what their role is, not know what they're doing. So hard to put that on the player after the start to his career was really positive. And maybe they're getting overcoached, too much information, learning their structures, too complicated maybe. I don't know, but when a player first comes in, their debut year, they normally sort of show their skills and talents.
Yeah.
And then to have that taken away just screams to me like whatever they're training isn't sort of getting the best out of maximizing their talents. But he only has 66% time on ground, and I think only like one or two center bounces. So just opportunity there. And before we go on, the three ruck combination, it doesn't work. And I think the only solution is there to have your number one ruckman, and say that's Goldie or Sherry, and have the third, which is Coleman Jones, as your forward ruck. That's the only way. So Goldie has to like either retire at the end of the year, or Cherry has to leave.
Cherry's re-signed, hasn't he?
He has, because we brought in Cal Coleman Jones on pretty big money to play that role.
Yeah.
Well, he wanted to be a ruckman. That's the other confusing thing. Yeah. So he said he wanted to be ruck forward, but we need a forward ruck.
Yeah.
Because Cherry or Cal Coleman Jones can't be both
number one ruck.
And on the contracts they're going to be on. So there's a bit of fixing to do there as well. Just quickly, yeah, Jai Simkin, he's asked to be the number one midfielder, but yeah, he's not capable of doing that. He's not big enough and maybe not strong enough as well. So yeah, we need someone like Cunnington back.
Yeah.
And Greenwood's not that man as well. So
yeah.
Once Jai Simkin becomes the second or third banana, he probably becomes the third banana really, like after if Davy Junior can Horn Francis can take that mantle.
Even Phillips and Power too, so yeah, he's probably behind in front of them, but yeah, you've got a good depth if everyone's playing.
And then you have Stevenson Thomas running through there. That's why getting Ashcroft might not help.
Yeah.
Because Phillips can't play forward. Tom Powell hasn't shown. He can kick a goal, but I don't think he can play forward. So, okay, we'll move on to that. Oh, just quickly on the VFL. So there was a win on the weekend for us. So came against, I think, Northern Borderlands, who are pretty bad as well. They're second last or third last.
Yeah.
But a few players had good games. I think the standouts were Spicer, Coleman Jones, and Marnie. So Spicer 15 possessions, 2 goals, 6 tackles. Marnie 21 disposals, 8 tackles, and 2 goals. So I think one of them should probably come in to add that pressure because we only had 5 tackles inside 50 on the weekend. And Coleman Jones 25 possessions, one of the best. So he'd be
11 clearances. Yeah.
Yeah, so I reckon if Sherry, I don't know, it's hard to look past those. So it's a good and bad problem to have. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Okay. So we'll talk about the other review. So last game of the week, so Port defeated Gold Coast 93-91. The season on the line again, so pretty much elimination final every week. So now we're only one game out of the top 8, plus percentage instead of 2 games. Hot start, 26 points up early. A bit nervous at that stage because it's not the Suns team of seasons past. They were probably the better team from then on, to be honest. Hit the front in the third term. They had plus 12 inside 50 tackles and plus 14 bounces. So their midfield really dominated after that. Wits, before Dixon came over in the second half, he was probably the best player in the second quarter, and Tuke Miller stood out, so we put Drew onto him after that. It was a frantic last few minutes. Ballard had he marked with about 50 metres out, and I think instead of having a shot or putting it at the top of the square, he did a chip kick.
How long was it ago?
I think within the last 30 seconds.
Oh, wow.
So instead of either having a shot or kicking at the top of the square, he did a chip kick 20 metres out, and then Wines got back in the hole, and then it went to stoppage, and then the siren went. So bit of a puzzling decision there. It looked like he got guided incorrectly by the bench to not have a shot. So I think it just confused him in the end.
Mm-hmm. And Marshall's continuing on from his good week last week.
Yeah, so Bixon mostly played in the ruck, so he's the new spearhead, really, Marshall. 4 goals straight versus Collins. Not many touches, but made the most of his chances, and he's probably the best set shot in the comp at the moment, I'd say. He just doesn't look like missing.
Yeah, see, that's when you experiment with positions, because you guys are down a ruckman at the moment, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why
not Dixon... playing a ruckman in Hayes, but yeah,
oh, yeah,
down
yeah.
one too.
Well, down one, because Lysette's injured, right?
Lysette's injured.
So, you guys have, because you need to do it, whereas we didn't have to put Mackay forward.
Shot, it's fired. So Rosie, 2 classy goals in a minute in the third quarter, big minute there because the game was decided by less than a goal. And the Suns never reclaimed the lead. 24 touches, 6 clearances, 6 score involvements. Probably our best player on the day, I'd say.
Yeah, probably sneaking up to that All-Australian 40-man squad.
Yeah, he's high in the coaches' votes too. I think
he
would have got
is,
votes
yeah.
in that game. So I think maybe 7 games now he's got it.
Yeah.
So since round 5 where he got moved into the midfield, I think all of his votes have come since then. So he's probably had 7 good games out of... What is it now? We've played 14 games. Yeah, so he's probably had out of 14, he's probably had out of the last 9, he's been really good in 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if he continues that, he could be maybe get a spot on the bench for Australian or on the field maybe.
Yeah, needs to keep going obviously, but yeah, Sam Powell-Pepper game high 10 score involvements, and yeah, the game saving tackle late on Miller when they looked like they were out really, outnumbering us in the midfield.
He plays a lot of heart, doesn't he? He might not have the best... he's not the most talented player.
No. He's behind the BNF too. Probably top 3, I'd say. Top 5 at worst.
And how's... he was our Rising Star favourite for last year, wasn't he?
Lucky Jones,
yeah.
Yeah, so NGA first rounder. So he played back the whole way through his juniors, and there's just no spot there at the moment. So he's had to play forward, and he's really made that position his own. Got a rising star nom, elite tackling, really good holding the ball tackle on Sam Collins, led to a goal, 3 goal assists, and from his 16 touches, had 8 score involvements. Georgiad is inaccurate again, but sticky hands, and his set-shot routine just looks like it's gone out the window, so he really needs to...
Oh, what? He's missing them all?
Yeah, he's not missing them all, but he's missing shots that he would normally kick every day.
He was
a
pretty
week.
Good kick last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, even in juniors, yeah. He was a dead-eye. So.
Yeah. And were your defenders able to contain the mosquito fleet of the Suns?
Yeah, not really. Like, Rankin kicked 3 classy goals. He looks... Yeah, like he's back on now. I think he's had probably a 6-7 week stretch of elite games. Ainsworth was really good too. 3 goal assists and 11 score involvements. But it's a pretty even battle, to be honest. Houston, Burden and Bonner. Lots of marks, lots of intercepts, lots of drive, but probably scored even.
Right. And Suns, who stood out? Any players in particular?
Yeah, Witt. So he's an absolute monster. Like, 8 game high, 18 yeah. contested possessions, 5 centre clearances. Markov is the one that really impressed. Probably the best game of his career. Most metres gained and really dashing off half back. He's the ex-Richmond player that could be the game.
Witt's probably should be all Australian ruckman at this stage.
Yeah, him and Gaunt's missing him in a few weeks and he's been injured a bit. So yeah, Witt's throwing number one.
I think Witt has been most influential. Yeah, they must have a good development coach at the Suns, huh?
Yeah. Reese, sure.
Yeah.
But I think Witts has been elite for
four or five But like Rankin and even Ainge, it's showing some signs. And Roses and guys like that. So, anyway, yeah, he seems to be doing well. Stewie Jew and his coaching staff.
Yeah, hopefully he gets re-signed too. So moving on to game preview. So North playing the Cats this week.
Yeah, I think it's Saturday game down at Cadinia Park or GMHBA Stadium.
Yeah,
I think outs would be Scott with his hip injury, missing a couple of weeks. Maybe Powell gets dropped and Taron Thomas, who's had a tough week with death in the family, which contributed to him not playing well. And then as a result, got heckled on social media and
he responded.
Yeah, so... I mean, there's always going to be hecklers and trolls.
Yeah.
So you, as AFL footballers, you just got to ignore them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's going to get screenshotted and deleting it afterwards. So, it
doesn't help.
No, yeah. Media training's probably got to improve at the Roos after, Horn Francis is like a few weeks ago as well. I reckon Lazaro might get a chance and Young would come back in for Scott, you'd think. And maybe Marnie to come back in, I reckon. Provide that pressure and Perez as sub who's been getting games under his belt. I guess Cameron and Hawkins are the most that's the sticking point. So Mackay surely goes back, yeah?
Yeah, I think he has to.
On Cameron, huh? Not Hawkins.
I'd play him on Hawkins.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I don't think he has the athleticism to go with no one's got the athleticism to go with Cameron, but I think Mackay would be the most suitable.
Okay.
Maybe Josh Walker on Hawkins.
Yeah.
And Core to maybe Henry or like the other forwards they have.
Yeah.
If Gary Ron
Stengel
comes
maybe?
In. Yeah, maybe I reckon Bonner might go to Stengel. So maybe that bigger body. Bonner must be happy to have some tools not having to play key position again. And Tom Stewart is out.
Yeah.
So, you got that was a big talking point. You got four weeks.
4 weeks,
yeah.
Probably fair.
Yeah.
Unders or.
I think so. Yeah. I think DeConning probably goes to Larky. And Colin Jackson is there as well, for some support. Maybe Blitzars goes back as well. So. I don't think the ball will go down much anyway. Like, to be honest, like could be a
good
record.
Expectation.
Yeah, I mean, there's been games where we've had like 30 inside 50. So.
Yeah.
Cats might be able to keep it under 30, so if it does, I don't think it'll worry them too much who's manning up on our forwards, which is a shame because I think our forward line is actually pretty dangerous. I think Zaha, Curtis,
and Larky, if he gets one-on-one matchups,
he generally gets the mark or gets a free. So
the
way we're moving it in and the lack of it, it just means they're starved. But I just reckon from the midfield, getting it forward. They just kick, obviously just kick two goals too easily. So yeah, Smith, Duncan, Selwood, Menegola, Guthrie, I think they'll all just be too strong around the ball. And there's more probably we'll get on the end of a few as well with Myers and Stengel being too much for our defenders. I mentioned about our forwards being okay because they have played okay this week. And I reckon ideally I'd like to see Goldstein or Cherry, one of them dropped, and just go with the one, and then you bring in Cal Coleman-Jones, like I was saying earlier. And or if you don't bring in Coleman-Jones, maybe let Greenwood do a bit of pinch hitting in the ruck, just have one more
extra body.
Yeah, but I know that sort of contradicts what I was saying about structure, but Cadinia Park's a bit of a smaller ground, so you could get away with maybe just Goldie as the ruckman. But yeah, you can't see this being anything other than a very comfortable Geelong win. We haven't beaten them since like 2018 or something. Something ridiculous. Or 14, maybe. 15, maybe.
Yeah,
when Dumont kicked that goal. Anyway, Cadinia Park, anyway. But yeah, I reckon it'll be probably 80 plus.
Okay. Hopefully not, because yeah, the more the big, like you were talking about, more the big losses start stacking up, then yeah, you're probably looking at
change. Don't you reckon the 666 rules makes these records easier to break? Because you can't, back in the day, like when the team's 10 goals up, whatever, you put one back and that generally slows them down.
Yeah.
But now, these kind of records, the rules are there, so they're going to be broken.
I think that's why it's such a momentum game, right? Because if you get on top of the centre bounce, you can stack on 3, 4, 5, like in the grand final, like that. I think you kick 3 goals in a minute.
Yeah.
It's easier to come back, but you're right. You can't put that loose man back.
Not loose man, back in the day, sometimes you could put 2 loose men back, right? So, I reckon, the media that would, stats read like that, but you don't know what rules affect it. So, you'll move on to your game.
So last game of the round again. So, it's Twilight versus Freo at Optus. So,
do you like these last game?
I don't mind these compared to the afternoon matches. Just with the kids, it's a bit easier to watch it. So probably need to win 2 out of 3 from either this match, D's in Darwin or Tigers home to play finals. We won 7 out of the last 9, but probably need 6 of the last 8. I think 13 wins will guarantee you a place, not 12.
You love looking at the whole scheme and wins like that, don't you? Just take it one at a time.
No. So based on that, so I wouldn't risk Butters or Lysett this week. I think Lysett's got to come through the sand after 4 months out. I think you still go with Finlayson and Dixon, even though it's Sam Darcy who up there with wits in terms of all Australian. Georgiades return to form allows Dixon more ruck time. So you'd probably have Marshall versus Pierce and Ryan to Dixon or Ryan to Georgiades. Cleary's back for McKenzie. He's just not up to it as a fullback. He's just too many holding free kicks. And
Cleary?
McKenzie. Oh. So I think he was good 2020, but since then he's just not.
Maybe he's getting a bit slower.
Yeah, I think so. And he was only in because Cleary was out with health and safety protocols. So that's a form. He's just back on form after the COVID. And Darcy Bergeron comes in for Bonner, who's injured. Fantasia was back in the sample. Kick 0 goals 4, but just a class above. Ken said that. So I think he replaces Frederick. Robbie Gray's been out 2 weeks with soreness. I think he comes in for Motlop. I'd say Lowe goes to Gray. Lowe goes back. I think he's got a good record against Robbie Gray. Jordan Clark probably goes to Fantasia. Wines versus Brayshaw is probably the matchup to watch. And probably Drew's like a cooler role on Brayshaw like he did with Miller when he's not on 5.
Cooler role. That's a new term, isn't it? Yeah.
So it's not the target from the start, but just when they get hot, it goes on them. And I think Aish, probably about time Rosie gets a defensive role on him. So I think Aish might go to him.
Is he attending more centre bounces, Rosie?
Yeah,
is that what?
Yeah. He's first choice centre bounce now, especially with Butters out the last couple of weeks. Before then, it was either Rosie or Butters in centre square, but now it's mostly Rosie. I think Cleary goes to Love. The height might be an issue there, so maybe Aaliyah goes to him and then Cleary on Tabernar. Jonas goes to Fife when he's up forward, and Frederick, Schultz, and Banfield are really dangerous. So Again, it's a big test for Burton, Darcy Byrne-Jones and Houston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Freo had their colours lowered last week, so against Carlton, so they'll be looking to bounce back because they probably have top four aspirations. So.
Yeah, they're still equal second, but yeah, they're fourth now on percentage.
Mm-hmm. Just hope that five hasn't sort of made that dynamic a little bit different, because it was going smoothly without him, so... But surely not. He's a class player, so you probably expect him to...
Yeah, it takes a while to get back into it.
Mm-hmm.
So move on to the tips. You're still first, but I closed the gap by two games last week, and you... I think you tipped the Roos, didn't you?
I did, yes. Yeah, so never again. But I also tipped West Coast, as we both did.
So okay, I think we both did.
We got that one right.
So we'll move on to the round 16. So it's round 15, actually. Round 16. So Thursday night kicks off Brisbane hosting the Dogs at the Gabba. I've got the Dogs, a rare home loss for the Lions. They're just coming off the most demoralising loss of the season. Riley West is really making a name for himself.
Yeah, he's been doing it for a few weeks, hasn't he? Because this week he broke out and I didn't realise he'd been playing pretty well. I think I'm going to go Brisbane here, just at the Gabba. Yeah, I reckon they'll have too much pride and respond. And the Dogs... they've been going all right lately. I think they've won... what?
4 out of 5.
Yeah, 4 out of 5. But yeah, the Lions to bounce back.
It's a Friday night. Carlton hosting St Kilda at Marvel. I've got the Blues. Yeah, De Koning really looks like a genuine A-grader in the ruck. So I'm not sure what happens if Pittenet gets back.
Yeah, so cousin of a guy I went to school with in primary school. De Koning.
Koning brothers. They're
cousins. Oh, no, that's his cousin. But yeah, they're both good. They're both like super tall and super skinny. But yeah, I haven't watched a lot of Carlton, but yeah, can't go past them here.
Saturday, Essendon versus Sydney at the MCG. I've got Sydney and Blakey. I know it probably hurts you a bit. Most damaging halfback
in the
game. Yeah,
I was going to delete that when I saw that. But
is John at the club?
He's at our club, yeah.
Yeah, what's the... is this the coach?
I think he's got charge of the back line. Yeah, he seems to have really good games and then really quiet ones. So he's just finding that consistency for Nick Blakey. Yeah, Sydney for me as well. I don't think Essendon plays that well ever really.
Yeah,
the SCG, they've been a bit up and down. So they got close to West Coast, but they're not good enough.
Adelaide versus Melbourne. Adelaide, we've got Melbourne, yeah. Bedford's really cemented a spot in that best 21, I'd say, at the moment.
He's more forward, isn't he?
Yeah, pressure forward, yeah.
Yeah. So it's an important role these days, and yeah, something we probably lack at the Roos. But Adelaide were good against us, but Melbourne should get the points here. They have better systems to counter
Adelaide.
Walker and Fogarty. Yeah.
Hmm. Geelong hosting North Melbourne at GMHBA. I've got Geelong. Menegola's return has really proved crucial, I think.
Yeah, I think Roos supporters just want to see some effort, and even the margin maybe doesn't matter so much if it gets blown out late.
Yeah.
But the start of the game's important, and to see, just some sort of game plan as well.
Yeah.
Would be nice. But yeah, Geelong.
Yeah, Tom Stewart. Absence will help, definitely, with that. Gold Coast versus Collingwood at Metricon. I've got the Suns. Jack Bowie's, much-needed returns. Lukosius and Powell are both injured from that back six. So
And Walker, Weller as well.
Yeah, out too, yeah.
He's not there, but I reckon that's one. Collingwood play really well away, so I tipped against them earlier this year, so I'll probably tip Collingwood.
Six on the trot, then, for the Pies. Sunday, Richmond playing West Coast at MCG. I've got Richmond. Baker might be nearly the best swing man in the game at the moment. Every time he gets switched, he seems to turn the game.
Yeah, he's been a player that got plucked from the VFL or like the whatever. I think maybe even WA.
Yeah, it's from WA.
Yeah. But yeah, just they're good at doing that, aren't they? Broad was another one, and then even McIntosh. If we can get one of those guys into our club, might be good. But yeah, Richmond for me as well. Even Nick Nance back, but won't have an impact.
Yeah, not game winning anyway. GWS versus Hawthorn at Giants. Today I've got the Giants coming, really establishing himself off half back at the moment.
Yeah, Hawks have been having a really good year, even though they're fourth last, I think.
15th,
Yeah, so the percentage is pretty healthy, 85%, pretty good. A few narrow losses, but yeah, I reckon, yeah, Greater Western Sydney might pinch this by just.
I think we'll differ here too. Port versus Freo at Optus. I've got Port as usual.
Are you guys hosting? Are you?
No, no, we're not hosting. Sorry, we're
you written that the other way
Freo
around.
Freo are hosting.
Yeah, Port. I do wonder that before when you had that, but yeah, I reckon Fremantle probably bounce back from their disappointing loss and defeat you guys.
Got two, the first and the last round were different. Every other game were the same. So you'll either be first or second.
Oh, yeah, we'll see how we go. We can split it. You could get one of them right.
We'll see how we go. So we'll on that note, we'll catch you guys next week.
All right. See ya.